Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Great job. Just want to start by saying I'm proud of you guys. I heard from your counselors this morning that your conversations last night in Cabin Devos were really deep, really solid on the very first night. So well done. Way to make use of your cabin time, way to make use of your counselors. Keep doing that throughout this week. All right, has anybody ever told you that you got a lot of your mom in you, or you got a lot of your dad in you? How many of you would say, I usually hear that I got a lot of my mom in me, okay? How many of you would say, more often you hear, you got a lot of your dad in you? And that can be some good things and some negative things sometimes, right? Yeah. What's the truth, though? You got 100% of both of them in you. You're fully your mom, you're fully your dad by genetic code. You are a piece of both of them. Today we're going to investigate a concept about Jesus that's really important. It's actually quite simple, but it's actually quite deep as well. And that is a term that you probably never heard before called hypostatic union. Can you say it with me? Hypostatic union on three. One, two, three. Hypostatic union. This describes the belief that Jesus is fully God, he's divine, but he also became fully man, fully human. Do we have any camp aides in the room? Are camp aides with us this morning? No. All right, I was going to use them for volunteers this morning, but I'll get a few of you to be volunteers, I guess. Can I get two helpers this morning? All right, let's go close to home here. Let's go, the two girls that have their hands raised. Would you guys come on up? Let's give them a hand. All right, come on over here. We're going to do some science this morning. All right. What are your names?
Libby.
Libby and Zoe. Libby and Zoe are going to be our helpers this morning. All right. All right. Let's put a little bit of this stuff in here. Okay. Let's put a little bit of water in there. Oops, I made a little bit of a mess there. Okay. Why don't you start getting your hands messy there and start mixing that up a little bit, all right? It's water and cornstarch, okay? Maybe you've seen this before, all right? You really got to get in there, girls. Act like a human mixer, okay? Move it around. We'll add a little bit more cornstarch here. It's going to get gross here in a second. So we have two states of matter here, right? We have a solid, okay? And we have a liquid, all right? How's that coming? Is it starting to clump up a little bit? Okay. Is it getting softer or harder? Okay. Can you make a big glop out of it for us? Or is it too hard? Do we need a little bit more water? All right, let's get a little bit more water. See if you're going to really get your fingers to pull that up. It's getting harder and harder. All right. Can you pull that up at all? Can you grab like a big glop and hold it up so that everybody can see it? Okay, hold it a little higher. Can you guys see that? All right, give it real high. All right. Has anybody ever done this before? Okay, yeah, so you get where I'm going with this probably. Okay, so raise your hand if you think this substance that they have and they're pulling up, keep pulling it up so they can see it. How many of you would say this is a solid? Raise your hand. How many of you would say this is a liquid? Okay, all right. Let's have you girls take the whole bowl, and I want you to safely walk down the aisle and hold it up if you can. And then you can go wash your hands after that. Okay, we had a liquid, we had a solid, we put them together, and we made a substance called oobleck. Can you say oobleck? One, two, three. Oobleck. A more common way that you have maybe heard of this is silly putty. Okay? It's made of a solid and a liquid, but then it makes this substance that scientists say it's really kind of both. It's both a solid and a liquid. So no matter what you voted for, you're right this morning. It's cornstarch, it's water, but it becomes a substance called oobleck. And that oobleck is one of the very few things in the world that's considered both a solid and a liquid. 100% solid, 100% liquid. The point is this. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. And this is the term that we call hypostatic union. So let's go to the next slide. Hypostatic union, the mysterious joining of the divine and the human in the one person, Jesus Christ. We're going to use Matthew chapter 1, which you looked at in your individual devotions, to talk about this. And then, more importantly, we're going to tell you why this is important. Okay? So a little bit of a lesson this morning. I encourage you to take notes just like you did yesterday. And let me read to you a few verses from Matthew 1 once again. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. We have the divine and the human coming together in the birth of Jesus. Mary was betrothed or engaged with Joseph, but they were not living together yet. They were not having sexual relations yet. And in that culture, it did have it was a solid commitment, though. So if you wanted to break off the engagement, it was considered a divorce. It says that Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they came together, she found out she's pregnant. I don't know if you can imagine what it would be like to be in this situation where you've never slept with a man, but all of a sudden you are pregnant. Obviously, everybody's eyes would have been judgmentally cast on you, wondering who you had been with, what you had done, especially as you started to show. But Mary was pregnant, it says, by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus had a human mother and a heavenly father. Okay, it was a miraculous or immaculate conception. It says, because of Mary's pregnancy, Joseph is convinced that the right thing to do would be to break off the engagement, but to do it quietly so that he didn't make a public spectacle of this. The angel, though, as we know from the Christmas story, appears to Joseph and says that this baby is from the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph receives these words, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So this piggybacks on our theme last night, right? Jesus is the promised king. The first half of our Bible, the Old Testament, predicted the coming Messiah, Savior of the world, who would be king forever. Now, This is being fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 23, another prophecy, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us, Emmanuel. God entering into our world. So Joseph, it says, and this is much to his credit, he obeyed the Lord. He obeyed what the angel had told him to do. He took Mary as his wife. They didn't have any relations until after Jesus was born. And he obeyed the command to name him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. So let's go into this a little bit. This idea of hypostatic union, that Jesus is one person, but yet he has divine nature and a human nature, okay? So let's go to the next slide. I want you to write down your notes if you're taking notes. Jesus is fully God. Jesus is fully God. There's a couple other places in Scripture that talk about this aspect of who Jesus is. Let's go to the next slide. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, that's when he died on the cross, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. In other words, after his resurrection, he ascended back up to heaven where he sits on the throne. We have Jesus' divinity mentioned here. He's the exact representation of God in human form here on earth. He is the radiance of God's glory. He represents God's holy character in every way. Next verse. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 is an interesting story. When John the Baptist, the character that we met last night, was traveling around teaching about the Messiah who was to come and baptizing people, Jesus actually came to him and said, John, please baptize me. Now, John is looking at his cousin. He's like, I'm telling everybody about you. Why are you coming to be baptized by me? But Jesus was setting us an example of obedience to God. And he said, it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And so Jesus was baptized in the river by his cousin John. In that moment, we see Jesus' divinity on display because when he's baptized, afterwards it says this, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Three characters in these verses. Jesus, God the Spirit, God the Father. The Spirit descending like a dove, the voice of God the Father pronouncing his approval of God the Son, Jesus Christ. We see all three members of the Trinity. Now, that may be a new term for some of you, but for many of you, you know what I'm talking about. We believe that God is one God. But he exists in three persons or essences, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is one of the instances in Scripture where we get that belief because we have three distinct characters here. We have God the Son in human form being baptized. We have God the Spirit descending like a dove. And we have God the Father announcing his approval of Jesus. In all this, we see his divinity. Jesus is the second member of the Trinity. Let's summarize this here. Jesus' divinity is supported by divine titles or names. It's supported by divine character and divine activities. He's given the name Emmanuel, God with us, a divine name, not a human name. He is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's given divine names in Scripture. He has divine character, meaning he displays the character of God perfectly. In fact, Jesus never sinned. So even though he lived in this world full of temptations and full of brokenness and full of hard feelings, he never sinned. He perfectly displayed God's character through his actions and his words. And then, of course, we see, if we've read the Bible at all, we've seen that Jesus did miracles. He did divine activities, things that only God could do. He healed people, as we saw last night. He eventually rose from the dead, right? Something that humans couldn't do. So he certainly is fully divine. But we also learn from Scripture that he is fully human or fully man. Jesus is fully man, complete in humanity. There's also a few verses that really bring out this aspect of who Jesus is. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh. The Word was a divine title for Jesus. It says the Word became flesh. He put on a body just like we have and made his dwelling among us. He lived in this broken world with us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, another divine title, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. The title of this message or this theme that was given to me is The Incarnate King. We worship a king, Jesus, who put on flesh and actually lived among us and lived in this broken world. Another verse that mentions this, Luke 2:52, we're actually going to look at this a little bit more tonight. It says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature physically, in favor with God and in favor with man. He had to grow and develop just like we all do. He started as a baby and he grew physically. He started as a young student and had to learn things. He had to learn how to interact with people just as you and I do. And he had to grow in his own relationship with God the Father. So Jesus is fully human. Let's give a summary here. Jesus' humanity is supported by his human birth. He came in the world the same way you and I did. Human growth and development. He went through all the stages of development. And sometimes those are awkward around your age, right? Voices start to change. You start to get pimples. He went through all of that. Human needs. Jesus had to eat. He had to sleep. It says he got tired several times in Scripture. Human emotions. There's occasions where Jesus was sad, where he was agitated, where he wept. He had human emotions and he had human relationships. He had friends here on earth. Some of his closest friends were his 12 disciples, right? But he also had a very special best friend relationship with Peter, James, and John. He had human relationships. So, Jesus is fully God and fully man. This is the idea of the hypostatic union, that he is one, but yet he had a divine nature and a human nature. So, why does this matter? Let me get two more volunteers up here, and then we'll close it out. Let's get in the blue and in the black. All right. So, here's why this is important. What's your name?
Schaefer.
Schaefer, you are now going to be man. Schaefer, and then
Caden,
you are going to be God. And just for this moment, okay? Just for this moment, okay? All right, so come right here, shoulder to shoulder, okay? This is a picture of Genesis 1 and 2. When Adam and Eve were created, it says that they were able to walk in the Garden of Eden with God. There was no separation, no division. But we learn from Genesis chapter 3 that Schaefer, or man, sinned, right? And so all of a sudden there's separation, step to the right. There's separation between God and man because of sin. God is a holy God. Nothing that is sinful or corrupt can be in his presence. That's why there's a difference between heaven and a difference between there's a difference between heaven and earth. Now man lives in a broken world because of the consequences of sin. We have broken relationships with one another. We have a broken relationship with God. Things don't always work out. We learn from Genesis 3 that we also have difficulty in our work. We have death. All of these things were not a part of God's design, but because of sin, there's this separation between God and man. So, in order to fix that, God incarnated. He put on flesh. Jesus came. He was fully God and fully man. But unlike every person who sins, Jesus lived according to God's design and lived a perfect life, displaying God's divine character in all of his actions and words. So, he's God, but he became man. Why? So that he could be the bridge between the two to bring us back together, right? And ultimately, he died on a cross, thus bringing back the opportunity for man to get to God and have eternity in heaven in a perfect place with God again. Let's give our fellas a hand here. You guys can have a seat. So this introduces the gospel. The gospel is a term we use in church that really just means the good news. The good news is not possible unless God comes to us and puts on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ so that he can be the bridge between God and man and repair what was broken through Adam and Eve in the garden. Now, it's not just Adam and Eve's fault, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the penalty for sin is death. It's separation from God forever. But Jesus is the gospel. He is the good news. He came to earth. He put on flesh. He lived the perfect life. He displayed the perfect attributes of God. But yet he innocently died on a cross so that man could have a restored relationship with God again and enjoy eternal life in heaven. He paid the penalty for our sins that caused the separation between God and man. And so the Bible says that through faith in Jesus, we can have a relationship with God. That only happens because Jesus was fully God and fully man. He was God, but he put on flesh. He lived among us, and because of that, we have hope and an opportunity for a restored relationship with God and an opportunity to go to heaven someday. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.